Well, good morning, everybody, and good to see you. I hope you enjoyed that new song. It's the first time I heard it, and when I looked at the screen and it said, make your pastor disappear, I first thought it said, to make your pastor disappear. And I was, that might be some people's prayer. I don't know, possibly. So, but luckily, then I reread it. Okay, just passed. In case you missed 2 weeks ago, we're in a little two-part New Year's Nuggets series, and you can listen to the first message and the first three nuggets of this little six-piece nugget meal, as well as the story and kind of rationale behind this annual message. But I wanted to show that little recap because a lot of today's material or nuggets comes from our 1 Corinthians study last year, which we'll be continuing fairly soon. And although these points or nuggets are from various messages in 1 Corinthians, as well as other messages from 2024, I'm going to organize them around 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there to 1 Corinthians 3. And there's also always Bibles in the back that you can borrow when you come in or even take with you if you need. But would you stand with me as we honor God's word together? And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it's going to be verses 10 through 17. So some of these might sound familiar from our 1 Corinthians series. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. That was a key verse for us last year as we talked about solidifying a lasting legacy and the call to build the church with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. This is the word of the Lord, and if you believe it, you can say thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, if you hear a phone go off during the service, it's because apparently, I just found out there are phones in the ceiling right now because the youth fasted their phones this weekend as a part of the fasting, and apparently, I just found out they put them up in the ceiling of the church, in the sanctuary here, so that they couldn't get them, and they haven't taken them back yet. I think they get them back today after the service, but that's pretty cool, the way for the youth to participate. So I don't always have a title for a Nuggets message, but as I put this one together, there was kind of a certain flow and theme to the different Nuggets, and so I'm going to talk about the church being appealing, appalling, and never stalling. And if I was Paul, I would do a little rap here, but I'm not, so I won't. But Nuggets number one, or Nugget number four, if you're keeping track in your notebook from the last time, I'm sure you are drawing little numbers in your cute little nuggets in your notebook. Nugget number one is the church is to be appealing. The church, by which, of course, we're just talking about the people of God and not a building, the church is meant to be attractive and appealing. We are, together as the church, verse 17, God's sacred temple in which God's Spirit dwells. I mean, that's some awesome and inspiring vision. We weren't able to get into this in our 1 Corinthians study when we did it, but Paul's use of temple language would have been especially significant in a city like Corinth that was full of various temples to many different gods and had various activities within those temples, right? We have malls and arenas. They mainly had temples. And Paul seeks to present God's temple, meaning just the church, as a viable and attractive alternative to the sacred temples that were all around them. It's a calling to be different. In the ancient world, the temple was meant to actually represent what the god was like, and to hold activities within that temple that reflected what that god was all about. And Paul says to the church in Corinth, verse 17 here, that you together, the church, are that temple representing or meant to represent the one true God. You are to model God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, we better be an appealing place, because God's kingdom is, in fact, appealing. The church is to be an appealing place for sinners and for broken families and our broken world. Right? It provides an alternative. And that's what the early church did. I mean, in a society back then where women and the poor and slaves and outsiders or different ethnicities were often considered less than by the ruling elite or the aristocrats, the church welcomed them and gave them not only a place to be accepted, but also a place to have a voice and be empowered. It was appealing. Not in the sense that it was full of important people or met in important or fancy places. No, because it was a place of love and acceptance, and most of all, where someone could be forgiven. We are called to be something beautiful, a light in the darkness, good news in a world of bad news. Paul says to the Corinthians, you are to be an appealing alternative to the pagan world and the temples around you that people flock to. And of course, today's temples are different, right? They might be malls and stores, could be a trendy brunch place, sports fields and activities, our comfortable living rooms with our massive TVs, exotic travel or weekend getaways. And inevitably, some people will always choose those gods, no matter how appealing the church is. But there is room for self-reflection as a church, where we should ask, are we providing and a part of a compelling alternative to what the world is offering? And one of the reasons Paul is a little ticked at the church in Corinth is they are not. Their behavior has been anything but appealing. On the contrary, it's been quite appalling. And so nugget number two, an appalling church is a stalling church. Being God's people, it's a massive responsibility, which is why Paul uses such strong language here, that anyone who would stall the mission of God's church and make it appalling or rather appealing will come under judgment. Paul says these people destroy God's temple, and therefore God will destroy them. So, yikes, that's some pretty intense language. But God loves the church. And if you're a believer in Jesus, the witness of the church should mean everything to you. Right? This is not just some group of people that gathers once a week for one hour. No, it's God's sacred temple that we're called to help make appealing to the world, a shining light in the community. But Paul says the Corinthians are behaving no differently than the world around them. And what's so appealing about that? So what makes the church unappealing or even appalling and therefore stalls its message, its mission? Well, really, being a Christian in name only, but basically living no different than the rest of the world. It's essentially what Paul is upset about. Right? Chasing the same things in life, or living a materialistic life, showing outrage or posting mean comments on social media, treating those who are not like us with disdain, being more concerned about our kids being successful in school or in sports than we are about them being passionate followers of Jesus. Basically just living a regular island life like everyone else. But yeah, I believe in Jesus, and occasionally I listen to some worship songs, and I even go to Oceanside a few times a year. This is what we would call kind of a practical atheism or a moralistic deism, just meaning that we believe in God but live as if God doesn't really exist. Right? We're a good person, but God's not really involved in our day-to-day life. And there's nothing particularly appealing or different about that to the world. And it might even be appalling because actually the world expects, and in my experience even hopes, that Christians are actually different. That there is something different about the way we live, that we can provide and hopefully an appealing alternative to this very broken, very harsh, this kind of you go get yours even if it's at the expense of others kind of world. That maybe there is perhaps more to this life than what most people are chasing after. And I think, you know, most people in this area, remember Nanaimo was recently determined to be the most non-religious city in all of Canada. Most people don't know the stories of Jesus. They haven't read them or heard them. So they look to you and to me to see what Jesus is like. So rather than slipping into any appalling patterns, and therefore our mission of the church stalling, hopefully we will be nugget number three here, never stalling, but focused on the calling. I was in a very rhymey mood when I wrote this message, I guess. Must have been the lack of food, I don't know. How can we do this? And I believe we are doing this. I'm about to give some examples. But we need to be, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, we need to be spurring one another on toward love and good deeds, right? Not giving up meeting together, as apparently some were in the habit of doing even then, but encouraging one another, especially all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. There's quite a few parallels between this passage there and 1 Corinthians 3, particularly the use of community language and the communal witness in light of the coming day of the Lord. Both texts are fully all in the plural, addressing the group that's not about individuals. And this is so important if we are to never stall and stay with the call of God's mission for the church. And listen, I know some people out there have been, you know, hurt by the church at times in their life, perhaps even seen, unfortunately, appalling behaviors. But of course, it's always easy to stand on the sideline and to criticize, to point out faults in the church. But it takes a lot more courage, right, to be a part of the solution of making it better, to not give up on the calling and the responsibility that we have as God's church, to be an appealing temple where God's Spirit dwells among us, and make the church, especially here in Oceanside, as appealing as possible to those who don't know Christ. And you all have done a beautiful job of that. Truly spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. And I see the church, the people here, living their lives intentionally for the sake of the gospel and making it appealing and inviting people into God's sacred temple, that is the gathered church. And I'm so excited and encouraged and inspired by it. It spurs me on to keep going, to not wanting the church to stall in its mission or get distracted in what we're doing here. The church is growing here at Oceanside. We had over 350 people here last week for a regular Sunday. It was most ever on a regular Sunday. The 11 a.m. was wall-to-wall, so thank you for being at the 9 a.m. We need to fill this one and make room in the other one. But, you know, the church is growing because you have continued to make this an appealing place for the gospel to be heard and for the lost to come. And I'm just amazed by it. I believe it's a work of the Spirit That as we've grown and added so many new people, that we've still been able to maintain that welcoming and appealing atmosphere that is just kind of getting passed on as people come and adopt it to be a place where people can belong even before they might believe. And I know I said this before, but it bears repeating. You know, I've been a part of and around a lot of churches in my life. What is happening here is not normal. And I'm humbled by it. I'm in awe of it. I take no credit for it. I consider my job description right now to be, you know, there's a beautiful thing taking place. Don't screw it up, right? Don't get in the way. That's my job description. I mean, did you know that every week, and I feel comfortable saying that, every week we are having people come for the first time who have never been to a church or haven't been in years or decades or since they were kids, but hear that this is an appealing place. I mean, the stories are literally unbelievable. Last week, we had someone here who recently moved to the area, and it was their first time ever in a church. Just showed up. Just in the past months, we've had dozens of people who have never been a part of a church before they started worshiping here. We regularly hear a story like this. That someone just says, you know, I saw the sign driving by and I'm not really a church person, but I just want to see what goes on here. Or I heard good things. Or recently someone came, and again, we've heard this dozens of times, and they said, I don't really know what I'm doing here, but I just felt like I was supposed to be here for some reason. We have kids who are begging their parents to come to church. And they're coming for the first time, having no idea what to expect. We've had people walk in the middle of the week and just say, I feel really lost. I just need to find a community. And they come on a Sunday. 2 weeks ago, when we had communion, I know for a fact that some people took communion for the very first time in their life. Another person came up to me after the service and said, that's the first time I took communion since I was 5 years old. I mean, if that doesn't excite you, then pray that God would expand your vision for the Great Commission to open our eyes to the harvest, because this is what it's all about. And a lot of people, they don't know much about Jesus, but they sense the welcoming presence of God. And just an example of kind of where people are coming from, to give you an idea, you know, they say things like, yeah, you know, I really like that karaoke thing you guys do on Sundays. That's awesome. It's true. Or they'll say to me, I really like those speeches that you give. You know, they don't know the terms, or they don't speak the Christian language, and it's great. Why am I telling you all this? Church, as the day of the Lord approaches, we need to keep working harder in the task before us to ensure that this place represents the appealing love of Jesus, and to not allow any appalling or stalling to take place. And I want to continue to inspire your evangelistic imagination. Keep reaching out to people. Keep loving your neighbors. Keep gathering together as God's sacred temple, and be intentional, as I know you're already doing. As our district leader, Ken Russell, recently said at a conference, invite the least likely and the most appreciative. You'll be surprised at how many people are looking actually for some sort of alternative to the broken world they've discovered. We were just talking about this as a staff recently in staff meeting, just how many people actually say yes when we invite them to church. We've all experienced it a lot lately. So invite people different from you. Go to their space first. Promote the church as a place they are welcome, and then just wait for that Holy Spirit moment. Let's live on mission together. It's our responsibility together as believers who live here to do this, to find ways to not only make the gospel appealing, but to sow the seed of the gospel to as many people as possible. If you remember my outdoor message from a while back when we were outside, I said we have to be silly with our sowing and nutty with our nets, just using the biblical imagery that we just need to sow seed everywhere we go, like Jesus did, no matter what soil it's going to fall on, and we need to cast our nets just really wide and see what happens. That's the biblical call. Every week is an opportunity. And there's also opportunities on the horizon like Easter, Youth Alpha in the fall, which we're so excited for, young people. Our upcoming series from 1 Corinthians on death and grief and resurrection, which will appeal to people. And I'm excited for the future. In 2 weeks, we're going to kind of talk about our guiding phrase for the year that we felt the Lord give us, which is explore new horizons, and we can't wait for that. So it's going to be great. You know what else I can't wait for? Nuggets, yes. So you remember I said last time, part of our tradition, and we've been doing this for 10 years now, of New Year's Nuggets, is that when we finish up our New Year's Nuggets, we have a couple nuggets together just to kind of close it up and have some fun. And this is, again, just another thing that we can invite people into, right? Families have traditions, and we invite people into these traditions, and we welcome them in. So I do just have to always say, though, this is not a full lunch buffet, just so you know. So 2 or 3 nuggets at a time, and go from there. You probably still have to eat lunch when you go home. But we're going to go right into that. But before that, would you just stand and receive this benediction and blessing? And I hope that you can meditate on some of these words, and hopefully the Holy Spirit is just speaking to you, expanding your mind for the mission that God has called us to. I always like to point out and remind us that when you walk into this room, each room in this building has a nameplate, right, a sign. And what we've basically called this room, when you walk in, the sign on the outside of the door says, "The Church Gathered." That's what this is. And then when you leave, the sign saying that you're going out, it says, "The Church Scattered." We are always the church. This is just where we gather, but we are always the church called to mission. So church, if you want to put your hands out like this just to receive this blessing or benediction, you can. You don't have to. But church, gathered together to engage the heart of God and edify each other, may you now be scattered out to embrace the mission of God in the world, reflecting the beauty of the gospel in all that you do and all that you say. And so now let us feast together in anticipation of when we will eat together at that final welcoming feast in the kingdom of God. So Lord, bless our food and our fellowship, as well as our mission in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.